Hello kids, hope you're well. Welcome to another edition of the Stories We Tell with Ruby, or Mridula as you might know me. Today we are going to read a book that I have been wanting to read for the longest time, that I bought for Anika a few years back when we were in India. It's by one of my favorite philosophers, poets, wise people, if you will, called Rumi. And it's called What Shape is an Elephant? The beautiful artwork is by Firuze Gul Mohammadi. So, a little bit about Rumi. Jalaluddin Muhammad Rumi, who is also called Molana, was it a little doggy? Or is it a pretend doggy? Come on then. Was born in the eastern city of Balkh, one of the four great cities of the Khorasan province in northeast Iran. The date of his birth is written as the 6th of Rabi al-Awwal of 604, which in some calendars would be September the 30th, 1207. This was some years before the Mongols, led by Genghis Khan, who would raise the city to the ground. At the time, Balkh was a flourishing center of arts and learning. Rumi's father, Bah al-Din Muhammad bin Hussein Khatibi, whose other names were Bahawalad and Sultan al-Ulema, was a very famous preacher and mystic. So popular was he, we are told, that the king grew frightened and sent him the keys to his palace and treasure house with a polite, respectful message saying, "Please accept these keys and allow us to move to another city, for two kings cannot rule in the same realm." But the Sultan al-Ulema had no love for riches. Rumi was 5 when his father left Balkh with his family and few friends and disciples. First, they went on a pilgrimage to Mecca. Then, for some years, they travelled from place to place, living in Hijaz, in Baghdad and Syria, until finally they settled in Konya in Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey. Rumi was 27 years old when his father passed away. Under his father's guidance, he had mastered every branch of Islamic learning. He spoke most eloquently, and all who heard his sermons were deeply moved. So, following in his father's footsteps, he began to teach at the seminary, where more than 400 students attended his lectures. All the while, as he taught and studied the subjects of the intellect, he purified and trained his inner self, until he reached such great heights of spirituality that he became a master, fit to train disciples. At the age of 37, Rumi's life was turned upside down. He met Shams al-Din Muhammad bin Ali Malik Dad Tabrizi, a wandering dervish. The meeting affected Rumi deeply. He became Shams Tabrizi's disciple and spent the next 6 months with him in rigorous spiritual training. But there were some who were jealous of Shams, and even Rumi's students and disciples spread so much ill will that Shams vanished, never to be seen again. Rumi was very sad. For a long while, he refused to see or speak to anyone. Restless, Rumi searched for his teacher for 7 years, but could not find him. He wrote his greatest poetic work, Divan Shams Tabrizi, during this time. Mathnavi, pronounced Masnavi, is Rumi's most famous book. It was written on the request of his beloved disciple, Hasam al-Din Chalabi. It is said that the idea for the book came to both master and disciple at exactly the same time. Every evening, Rumi would compose the poems and Hasam al-Din would write down the lines. At the end of the night, Hasam al-Din would read the poems aloud and Rumi would make the corrections. Later, they would be read to his other followers as well. In this manner, master and disciple completed his epic work. All that Rumi had learned, experienced, and discovered during his rich life was set down in the 6 volumes of Masnavi. The pages of this immortal masterpiece are full of explanations of the Quran, parables and stories, carefully chosen to guide the reader along the path to spiritual perfection. The book was written during the last decade of Rumi's life. However, before he could complete the last chapter, he fell ill and passed away in 672 HQ, which is 1273 AD. History says that once Rumi called all his disciples to hear his last will and testament. He advised them to be devout and sober, both outwardly as well as inside, to avoid fools and ignorant people, and seek out learned and saintly people. He ended his sermon with the words, "Know also that the best persons are those who benefit others, and the best words are those that are few and well considered." Okay. Wow, look at these pictures, Anika. They're beautiful, aren't they? Have you read that? My sweetheart. Long, long ago, to the land of Iran, came travelers from far away India. They brought with them a strange creature. Who was that strange creature, Anika? Who was that strange creature? An elephant, called an elephant, to show at the fair. Oh my goodness, this artwork is phenomenal. By the time they reached the fairground, night had fallen. So they tied the animal in a shed and went off to get some rest. But the people of Iran were curious. They had never seen an elephant before. They just couldn't wait until dawn. One by one, they crept into the dark shed, eager to look upon the wondrous beast. Right. Oh, my goodness. Look at all these ladies with grand clothes. So colorful. In the darkness, their eyes could not see, Aniku. So they put out their hands. They felt the elephants with their palms, trying to make out its picture in their minds. And what do you think they felt, Anikli? "It is long and supple," they said, "like a water hose," the first exclaimed, stroking. What were they stroking? "It's elephant, the elephant's trunk." Another touched the animal's ear. Animal's ear. "No, no," he cried. "It is wide and flat as a fan." "You are both so wrong," snapped the third, feeling a leg, "far more like a thick column that holds up the roof of my house." "Not at all," a fourth disagreed, with his hand on its back. "It is broad and strong as the emperor's throne." What was going on, Anika? What were they doing? You've read the story, right? What were they doing? In the darkness, they were touching different parts of the elephant's body. And everything was a different interpretation. One of them touched the ear. One touched the trunk. One touched the big back. And they all said, oh, no, 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 this is a hose. This is interesting, all interpretation, isn't it, Aniku? And so they bickered on, each seeing a different creature. But each one could only see the elephant in the shape of the part that he had felt. Some said the elephant was, what was it, Aniku? Straight.
Straight.
The others called it? Curved. Well done. If only they had carried a candle into the shed, they would have seen the whole elephant.
Yes, sir.
When we look only at what we can touch, it is as small as the palm of our hand. Can you hold the whole world in your palm, Aniku?
No.
Look at the ocean. What do you see? Waves tipped with frothy white foam. Keep looking at its prettiness, and we become like boats that bump into each other, for we do not see the clear path that lies ahead. So what should we do then, sweetie? We should look beyond the dancing foam. So what should we do? Keep your eyes on the waters beyond. And then look. You can see the real sea. The real... the, as it, yeah, you're right. When we, just the immediate bit. Yeah, so true. You're right, Anika. It's almost like seeing something fake. It's not entirely fake, but you're right. It's not real. Vast, magnificent, teeming with life, its grand beauty stretching beyond our very imagination. As with the ocean, so is it with life. Look beyond and further, and you will surely find much more than your eyes can see, much more than your hands can touch. You may see anew a world you thought you knew all about. Isn't that incredible? Look beyond, expand your horizons. Don't look immediately ahead. Ah, yes, that's what I can see. Oh no, life is so terrible because of COVID. I can't do this and I can't do that and I'm so miserable. But oh my, life is so wonderful that you can spend it at home. And you can do everything sitting at home, isn't it? And you can go to different places from the comfort of your home, isn't it, Aniku? So, always look at the big picture. Yeah? Rumi was so wise, and Rumi always had very simple learnings, Anika. Simple learnings that he told in simple stories that really touched our lives. Yeah? On that note, I wish you simplicity, I wish you clarity, I wish that you can see the big picture, and I wish that you can see beyond the little world and the little bubble that we live in. Right, sweetie pie?
Yes.
So on that note, good night, kids, and sleep tight. Don't let the bugs bite. Nighty night. Do you want to say good night, Anika?
Good night.